Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, the hall of faith. Hey, every one of us exhibited faith when we came in here this morning, right? You sat down in those chairs believing those chairs were going to hold you up, right? We exhibit faith, we demonstrate faith every single day. And we're going to talk about that because faith is really a word that's kind of used flippantly a lot of times. It's thrown around a lot of times. And the world sees faith a whole lot differently than we see faith. With the world, it's that wishful thinking. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. I hope that Five Guys will be open by the time Greg gets done with a sermon at 5 o'clock this afternoon, you know. But we all demonstrate faith, and that's where we're going at. The Hall of Faith has been called the Hall of Heroes. But it's basically talking about those who have been faithful. Those who have been faithful. So we're going to go there this morning. But let's go ahead and pray first, because I want the Holy Spirit to be our teacher this morning. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We come in this building that we have chairs to sit in, Lord, Father God, that we have electricity and Father, all the things that we take for granted that a lot of our brothers and sisters overseas don't have access to, Lord. And they're meeting in out in the open, out in the woods, out in the jungles, wherever they can find a place to meet, Lord. And to go over your word. And a lot of them, Lord, don't even have a full copy of your word. They may have just a page or two or a paragraph that they're using, Lord. And we are so, so blessed in this country, Lord. So, Father, help us never take you for granted. Help us never take your word for granted. Help us to never take each other for granted, Lord, because we need each other, especially as the days are getting darker. So, Father, as we get into your word this morning, as we get into this hall of faith this morning, Lord God, just settle our hearts and our minds. Help us stay totally focused on you this morning, on you and your word. And Father God, help us to take out of here this morning what we've learned and put it into practice. And Father, may our faith grow stronger and stronger each and every day, Lord, as we get into your word, as we spend time with you, Lord, as we spend time in prayer with you. So Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for another day of life. And Father, we just want to say we love you. And all these things we ask your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're only going to get through about three verses this morning. Last time we left off, I'd been teaching about apostasy and then a little encouragement there at the end for those of us who are not apostates. And now we go right into this faith chapter. If you back up here, look at verse 37 of chapter 10. The writer said, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming," talking about Jesus, "will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." That's from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. "The just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But we are not of those who draw back or who abandon Christ or who apostatize. We are not those who draw back to perdition or destruction, but of those who believe. That's what faith is. Faith is just believing. Faith is belief. It's confidence, it's assurance, it's trust, putting our trust in the Lord. That's what faith is. Totally different from what the world believes. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." And then he jumps right into this faith chapter, chapter 11, which we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to spend a few weeks getting through here because there's a lot in here. But then once we get through chapter 11, look at chapter 12, verse 1, which I consider a bad chapter break. And I've shared with you before that these chapter numbers and verse numbers and these breaks, these are not inspired. But it goes right into chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all these people, these 16 people that are mentioned in chapter 11, that's the cloud of witnesses. There's been a lot of people teaching that cloud of witnesses is people up in heaven checking us out, you know, to see what we're doing. You know, our loved ones up there checking us out, see what we're doing. It's talking about those faithful witnesses in chapter 11. "So therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The writer of the Hebrews is passing this on to those Hebrew Christians who are weak in their faith. Remember, they're wanting to turn back, a lot of them, and go back into Judaism. And the writer of the Hebrews saying, you need to make sure you keep the faith. Keep trusting in God. Keep trusting Him. In other words, our faith is trusting God at His word. Believing He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Believing all the promises of God. Believing everything He's written in the Bible. To have faith in that. And not go back to the old ways, because the old covenant can do absolutely nothing for you. The old covenant can show us our sin, showing us our need for a Savior, but it can't save us. The law cannot save anyone. We're justified by faith, and faith alone in Christ alone. Amen? And that's what he's trying to get across to these Hebrew Christians, these Hebrews that are trying to go back into the old way of life. Those sacrifices, animal sacrifices, can do nothing for them. The one perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, is the only one that can totally forgive their sins. And now he gets into this whole faith chapter here. And the folks he mentions in chapter 11, one thing that we notice, he doesn't mention their failures or their sins. Why? Because remember when it said earlier that I'll remember your sins no more. So he's going to be talking about these folks here in chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, Abel, by faith, Noah, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, all the way down the line, by faith, 18 times. I think he's wanting to tell us that faith is important. So that's where we're going at this morning. And again, once we get into chapter 12, he's going to be talking, again, it's a bad chapter break, but about the importance of faith and why we're supposed to run with endurance and not give up. And that is just as true today than it was 2,000 years ago. To run with endurance, never give up. Put our faith and trust in God and His Word and what He has said. And don't worry about the world. Don't worry about anything else. Have faith in God. Not faith in yourself. A lot of the world puts faith in themselves. And here's the deal. Your faith is only as strong as the object of your faith. Right? If your faith is in your bank account, if your faith is in your skills, in your talents, if your faith is in your job, your career, if your faith is in any other thing other than Jesus Christ and God's Word, and by the way, God's Word is foundational to our faith. But if your faith is in anything else, hear me on this, if your faith is in anything else, your health. How's that working for you, those of us who have been sick, that have lost our health? If your faith is in anything else, sooner or later, it's going to crumble. Sooner or later, it's going to collapse. I don't know how many people that have told me I'm a self-made person. Hey, here's the deal. God can take away your health in a heartbeat. He can take away your job, your bank account, your house, your boat, your car, in a heartbeat. Our faith, our trust, our confidence, our assurance needs to be in Jesus Christ. We need to take God at His word, and we need to believe what He said. And nothing delights God more than for us to have faith in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's where we're going to be going here the next few weeks, in the Hall of Faith. But every single one of us, we put faith, we exercise faith, we demonstrate faith every single day, don't we? Every day. You get on that airplane for vacation time. You've never seen that pilot or those two pilots behind that door in that cockpit, right? But yet we're trusting those pilots with our very lives. We're trusting that they weren't hitting the airport bar prior to getting in that cockpit, and that's happened. We are trusting they know what they're doing. We are trusting that they're going to be able to have that plane take off and land. You know, in the middle part of it, it's no big deal. You just put on autopilot, right? But they still have to take off. They still have to land. We're trusting them with our very lives. When you go in for surgery, a lot of times you've never met that surgeon before. Most of the times nowadays you have, or you have a consult. But a lot of those surgeons you've never met. You haven't met all those people that's going to be in that operating room. And here's the deal. They're all behind masks. They all have masks on. You don't know who these people are. And you're entrusting your health, your surgery, into their hands. We don't know if that surgeon graduated last in their class, right? We don't know if they bribed their teacher, their professor. We don't know if they've got their diploma from one of those diploma mills in Louisiana that was on the news a while back on 60 Minutes, right? You pay a couple hundred bucks, you get your PhD. Seriously. But you're putting your faith in those people. When you have a carpenter or someone come to your house, do some work, or put a new roof on your house, you have faith that that person knows what they're doing, right? You have faith that they know what they're doing. We exhibit faith every single day. When you guys get up this morning to come to church, you had faith your car was going to start. Maybe you ended up pushing your car to church. We'll talk about that later if that was the case, all right? But you had faith in that car that was going to get you here. You had faith that your brakes were not going to go out. You had faith that that car was going to get you here. Every single one of us demonstrates faith every single day. You get on an Amtrak train, you exhibit faith. You demonstrate faith. When Amy and I went to Alabama years ago, we caught a train out of Boston, first time on a train. Went down to Alabama. Shortly after that, a train going the same route we were going through, over the same bridge we went over, ended up going into the river and killing a lot of people. They flew us back on an airplane to get back up here. But we had faith that that train was going to get us to where we're going. Every single one of us demonstrates faith. Every single one of us. So that's what we're going at this morning, because faith is important, right? Faith is important. You know, the world, they put their belief system in the five senses, what they can see, touch, taste, smell, hear, right? We put our faith, listen to this, we put our faith into something we cannot see. None of us have ever seen God. None of us have ever seen God. How many of you in here have seen Jesus Christ face to face? None of us, right? But you have these modern day apostles, and one of the marks of an apostle was you had to have seen the risen Christ. None of them have. There are no modern day apostles. But we base things in the world on what we can see. How many of you here have ever seen heaven? I know there's been a lot of books about, you know, I've gone to heaven and come back. A lot of bestsellers. How many of you ever seen an angel? Other than your wife, guys. Ching, ching, points for us, right? None of us have ever seen angels. But can I share something with you? There's a spiritual realm. There's an angelic realm right now around this place. Do you believe that? A spiritual world that we can't see. There's angels, holy angels, and demons around this place that would like nothing better than disrupt what we're doing this morning. We have a very real enemy, but we can't see the angelic beings. None of us can. However, they're real. Elisha, in his hometown of Dothan, remember the Syrians were surrounding his hometown of Dothan, trying to get to Elisha. And Elisha told his servant not to worry about it, because his servant was really worried, hey, this huge army is surrounding us. And Elisha told him not to worry. And Elijah prayed that the Lord would open his servant's eyes to see all the holy angels around Dothan, around that Syrian army. God opened his eyes, and he saw the chariots of fire. He saw all those angels that were there. Angels are real. One angel in one night killed 185,000 Assyrians. Angels are real. See, we haven't seen God, right? We haven't seen his son Jesus Christ. We will soon, but we haven't seen them. We never experienced seeing the virgin birth. We haven't seen angels. We haven't seen heaven yet. But we know it's there. All our faith is taking the future certainty and bring it into the present. Okay? It's not believing is seeing. It's seeing is believing. Right? For the Christian. For the Christian. So the things we can't see, we accept it by faith. our hope that we have is a confident expectation. It's not a wishful thinking hope like the world has. We bring that future reality into the present because we trust God and His Word. We trust what God said. And God said He's going to get us home. He's going to get us to heaven. And we trust Him in that. And we trust Him in that. Look at these three verses that we have here. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith or belief or trust or confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders, these folks we're going to be reading about here in chapter 11, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. One of the most important things I'm going to give you right now, take your pencil and get ready to write it down, all right? Out of all these names we're going to see in chapter 11 here, what's the first name we see mentioned here? Abel, right? You're going to say Abel, right? No. Back up here. By faith, we. That's us. That's exciting. We're in, as a believer in Christ, we are in the hall of faith with these great men and women. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in the hall of faith. That's exciting. That should be one of the things you take away from here today. We are in the hall of faith. God's word says it. I believe it. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're in the hall of faith. Now listen to me on this. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're in the hall of shame because you will be judged. That's why you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I don't know your heart. And I can't save you. Nobody can save you except Jesus Christ. I can't. And I don't know your heart. And there's a lot of people in churches where a pastor will say, if you want to accept Christ, raise your hand. Or come forward. Or say the sinner's prayer. Or sign a card. Or something like that. See, the thing is, I don't know the person's heart that raises their hand. I've been in church services before where I've known a person every single week that raised their hand. But you know your heart. Well, you don't really know your heart because it's deceitful, right? And wicked. Who can know it? But God knows your heart, and He knows my heart, and we talked about that. But your faith and trust and confidence had better be in Jesus Christ. And hear my heart on this. If you've been coming here to TNT for years and playing church, if you've been playing church for years here, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've gone through all the motions. You've sung all the songs. You've gone to Bible studies. You may have even taught Bible studies. And you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You are just as lost as any other non-believer. And I'm telling you this stuff because it's true. And I'm telling you this stuff because I care about you. And I would rather someone walk out of here ticked off because they heard the truth then go to hell because I sit up here and I sugarcoated it and did something to tickle their ears and entertain them. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to tell you the truth here. But in every single church, virtually every single church, there are people who have been going there for years and they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They look good on the outside. Externally, everything looks great. They know the Christian lingo. But they don't know Christ. They're in a church, but they're not in Christ. And God knows. He knows. But that's who our faith and trust needs to be in. It needs to be in Jesus Christ, not in some pastor, not in some preacher, not in some priest, not in some pope. But our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. Did I make that clear? That's the object of our faith. That's who we believe in. That's who we trust in. That's who's promised us to get us home. That's who's promised us eternal life. That's who's promised us a glorified body. And again, our faith is taking that future reality and bringing it into the present, because face it, none of us have gotten our glorified bodies yet, right? I'm waiting on mine. None of us has gotten that glorified body yet. But we believe it because God said it's going to happen. So we bring it from the future into the present, that future reality into the present, and we believe it. And no matter how bad things get here in this world, no matter how bad it gets, we know that the best is yet to come. We know this is only temporary. We can see a temporary world. If you go to India and you talk to a Hindu, okay, and you ask them, do you believe in a real world? You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you it's all what? An illusion. They're going to tell you everything we see around here is an illusion. Even though it's temporary, right? They're going to tell you it's an illusion. Well, then I would ask him, well, why in the world do you look both ways before crossing the street? Right? It's a good question. It's a good question. But see, we can see this temporary world around us right now because we can physically see it. But we can't see what awaits us. That comes by faith. You know, I used to always love the acronym someone had one time for faith, forsaking all, I trust him. That's what it boils down to, is trusting Jesus Christ. It's trusting him. That's really what it boils down to. We have to trust him and what he said in his word and not worry about the world, because they go by the senses. The world thinks we're a bunch of crackpots. You know that, right? They think we're crazy because we believe in a God we can't see, in a Jesus Christ we can't see, in a heaven we can't see, because they want to touch it, they want to taste it, they want to feel it, they want to hear it, and they think we're absolutely nuts. You know, I was talking to Maureen here earlier this morning. She showed me her beautiful little grandsons. And I said, how in the world, look at those two beautiful little babies, how in the world can someone believe in evolution? But that's what the world believes in. They believe that God just basically didn't even intervene in anything, that something just happened. From the goo to the zoo to you, right? That's how we evolve. It's like going to Bailey Island and you find a Rolex on the beach. And you say, well, that Rolex started out as a grain of sand there on the beach, and over millions of years, it evolved into this beautiful Rolex watch. That sounds insane. And they say, we're crazy? That's insane. Don't let the evolutionists make a monkey out of you. You know, it's insane. It takes more, listen to this, it takes more faith to believe in evolution, to believe in what God has said. It takes more faith to believe in evolution. By the way, evolution's a religion. And when that college professor or the high school professor gets up there and he starts talking about, or she starts talking about evolution, they're really preaching religion, because that's what evolution is. It's their religion. So anyway, that's what the world sees. The world sees all this stuff that's right there in front of this tangible. Again, our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith. The disciples, remember Jesus said, you know, oh, you of little faith. How many of you have ever had lapses in your faith? Lapses in your faith where you've had weak faith for whatever reason. When you go through trials and tribulations and heartache and difficulties in this world, it's easy sometimes. God, where are you at? What's going on? Well, you know, God never promises a bed of roses, but he did promise us he'd be there right with us as we go through the fires and the deep waters, didn't he? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised us he'd be right there with us when we go through all those difficulties. And most of us, or many of us, have had lapses in our faith where our faith has gotten a little weak. Oh, you of little faith. Jesus said that to his disciples. But you want to strengthen your faith. Here's what you need to do. Here's what I need to do. I need to become more intimate with this book, God's Word. I need to get to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit more intimately. Get to know them more. Build that relationship more. Because the stronger my relationship is with this book and the God of the book, the stronger my faith is going to be. It's just like anybody else. If you don't form a relationship with them, how strong is that relationship going to be? It's not going to be strong if you don't form a relationship with them and you cultivate that relationship, right? You married folks, if you never cultivate the relationship between you and your spouse, it's going to be a weak marriage. You got to get to know each other better, and we need to get to know our Lord better. That's what's going to strengthen our faith. And there's lots of examples all through the Bible of people who had lapses in their faith, who had weak faith. But Jesus told even his disciples, "Oh, you of little faith." And I've been there before. And truth be told, most of us, if not all of us, have been there before, where we question things. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what?" The Word of God, right? The Word of God. That's why I said at the very beginning, the Word of God is foundational. It's foundational to our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, we'll get to it in the next week or so. It says, these people we're talking about, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're just pilgrims. We're just passing through. This ain't our real home. It's not. But we put so much stock in this world that we can see. And I think that's why God a lot of times allows us to go through difficult circumstances so that He weans us off of this world that's just temporary. To make us realize this ain't our real home. This ain't our real home. We'll get to Moses later on. And it talks about Moses giving up everything that was tangible. The palace. We just saw Prince of Egypt on Friday night. But giving up all those things, all those riches, that position, that power, for something he hadn't even seen yet. Oh, it's real to him now. All these folks here in chapter 11, all those things are real to them now. They're face to face with the Lord. But if I could leave you with one thing to take away from here today, other than at the beginning when I told you about verse 3, our faith is so, so important. And the world kicks around that word so flippantly. You know, you always hear all the time, you got to have faith. Or, what faith are you? Well, I'm Lutheran or Episcopal. Or I'm Baptist. What faith are you? We kick it around. You know, I've shared this before. If I came up to Steve and said, "Hey, Steve, I've got an F-16 parked out at the runway at Brunswick. You want to fly with me this afternoon after service?" Now, at least you're honest, right? But see, the thing is, Steve would tell me, I believe you, Greg, that you've got an F-16. I believe that you can fly that thing. I believe that you can do better barrel rolls than the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds in the Air Force. I believe you can do better than those guys. You know, Steve would tell me that basically just get me to shut up, right? Right? You know, I believe you, Greg. Yeah, but he's not going to get in that cockpit. Now, here's the deal. If Steve says, "I believe in you, Greg," you follow me? I believe in you. That means you're willing to get in that cockpit with me as that backseater. You're willing to trust me and have confidence that I'm going to be able to fly that safely with you in there and get you back on the ground safely because you believe in me. The same thing with Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, "I believe Jesus," or "I believe God." A lot of times it's a God of their own making, but "I believe Jesus." I believe Jesus existed. I believe he was a great teacher. I believe he was a great rabbi, a great person, a good person. I believe Jesus. You know what? Even the demons believe, right? But they're not saved. But it's a whole different thing when you say to have faith in someone. That means you're willing to commit your entire life to that person, to have faith in, to have trust in, to have confidence in. That little word "in" is so, so important. Are you in Christ? We talk about it all the time, being in Christ. Not just knowing about Christ, not just coming to church on Sundays or Tuesdays or whatever and learning about Christ, but are you in Christ? That is so important. Have you put your faith and trust in Christ and what he did on the cross. That's what's important. But it's easy to kick that word faith or belief around. And by the way, faith and belief are the same things. Faith, belief, confidence in, trust in. I think we'd probably be better off, just like a lot of times I talk about it, it's probably better off that I ask someone if they're a Christ follower rather than a Christian, because in America it seems like everyone's a Christian. But are you a Christ follower? You could say you're a Christian and you're following the devil. All right? You're following the devil. And that's easy to, I mean, years ago, 1978, was that Running with the Devil that came out from Van Halen, 78? Running with the Devil, all right? For many, many years, I ran with the devil. I did. I hate to say it, but I did. It wasn't until I started following Jesus Christ, running with Jesus Christ, that my whole life was totally transformed and changed. Something David Lee Roth could never do for me. Or Eddie Van Halen or Alex Van Halen. None of those guys could do for me. But Jesus totally transformed my life. And I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff I did. But again, I was blinded. I was dead in my sin. But Christ came along and took a dead man and made him alive. And that's what matters. Are we? Don't tell me I believe Jesus or I believe God. Are you in Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ and what he did on the cross? That's really what matters. So that's what our faith is. That's what we're going to be looking at here for the next few weeks. And again, the strength of our faith is only as strong as the object of our faith. And we're going to be talking about all these people here. And again, their failures are not mentioned. And I think there's a good reason for that when God said, I'll remember your sins no more. That's the mercy of God to overlook those sins. He chooses not to bring up our sins anymore because of what his son did at the cross, who imputed his righteousness to us, where God sees us as being perfect. And we know full well we're not practically perfect. But in God's eyes, positionally, we are. We are. I got something I want to share with you, and I'll close out here. There's an evangelist from years ago. His name was John Goff, and he told this story of two little boys that he once saw in a London hospital. He said the cots were side by side. One had a fever. The other boy had been struck by a truck. His little body was all broken up. The little fellow with a fever was very weak. And the other little boy spoke to him and said, "Say, Willie, I was down to the mission Sunday school, and they told me about Jesus. And I believe if you ask Jesus, he'll help you. They said that if we believe in him and pray to him, when we die, he'll come and take us to be with him." And Willie said, "But what if I'm asleep when he comes and I can't ask him?" And the other little fellow said, "Just hold up your hand." That's what we did in Sunday school. We held up our hand. I guess he sees it. Willie was too weak, so his little friend managed to lean over and prop up his pillow and brace it under Willie's arm. Willie had his arm up, and he fell asleep. In the morning, when the nurse came, she found Willie dead, but his arm was still popped up. Now, you know that the Lord saw his arm, and Jesus said, "Except a man become what? As a little child, he cannot enter the kingdom." We accept faith with humility. We put our full trust and confidence in him and what he's done on the cross for us. And we believe not by sight, but by the faith, by taking what is that future reality and bring it into the present, knowing it's going to happen because God said it's going to happen. And we can bank on that, and we can trust him, and we can entrust our very lives, our very souls into his hands. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for this chapter 11 here in Hebrews, Lord, the Hall of Faith. Father, in the next few weeks, prepare our hearts to receive what you would have for us. But Father, help us to walk by faith, not by sight, Lord, because that's the way the world walks. But Father, just to fully trust you and to fully trust your word. And to know that whatever you say in your word, Lord, whatever promises are in there, it's all true. It's going to come true. And we can bank on it, Lord. So, Father, thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for your son going to the cross for each and every one of us so we can have our sins forgiven. So we don't have to experience your wrath. And so that we know without a doubt that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with you, Lord. So, Father, again, just thank you for today, Lord. We just want to say we love you. In all these things, we ask your son, Jesus' name. Amen.